crap.
It's Chandra.
Today is Wednesday, April 17th. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel better. I think you feel better. Well, it made me feel worse last night by the Rangers, but spirits are high. Emotions are high. Some of our listeners are high.
Exactly. Yeah, the upper respiratory infection quickly faded to indigestion and diarrhea last night watching that team. Holy shit. What the fuck is going on with this team? And if the kids are listening, it's going to be a lot of bad words tonight. Parents, you know what your kids hear? It's going to be a lot of bad words. You know, that's why, you know, it's 9:30 at night on the eastern seaboard. So, you know, there's going to be some bad words, the words of the immortal Tony Soprano. I'm going to say a lot of bad things. I'm going to use a few bad words.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling good Saturday. 102 fever for me.
You were delusional when you saw
the
whole game winner.
I swear to God, I woke up. I was in some kind of feverish stupor when I actually saw Danny Bobby or Girardi deposit one behind Nabby to win that game, and that was a high. But then it was followed by a low against probably the most decimated defenses in the league, the Philadelphia Flyers. Disgraceful, disgusting. Can I use any more D words? Depressing. Dumbfounding, it's not really a word, but losses.
Just dumb.
It's just, they know that's dumb.
Just dumb.
Dumb. Yeah, you know, they came out spirited. They came out hard. Same old shit. Same old thing. They're not good. Can we just all agree? They may make the playoffs. They're not good. They're just not good. They're not a good hockey team. And they're not going to get any better. Until maybe Mark Stahl comes back. They run out of time.
Yeah, Mark,
some people are out there saying, I mean, we're running out of time here. The fans are bipolar. They're happy that what do you mean you're bipolar? We're running out of time. You can't be fought around here losing to teams. Played back-to-back nights. Philadelphia was ripe for the picking. The garbage can Steve Mason in net. I know he had a good rookie year, but that was it.
Was that 10 years ago?
They got four. I mean, how many times is a team going to get 40 meaningless shots, too? I don't know. How are they going to win? I'm going to go first because I know you took the time to print out your feelings today, which
well,
that means
not
you
printed,
really want to crush
up.
Them. That's fantastic.
I got notes, like Paulie. It is what it is.
I got notes, too. I have four. What? You're just baiting me. Yeah, I've got notes, too. But I stopped after, like, four things. You know what? I was like, I won't have enough paper. And I'm so afraid that I'm going to say something that somebody else has said on the Facebook group. Because, frankly, that's just turned into a fucking shit circus. Like, people are just yelling. I don't know who doesn't like who.
I'm ready to do a Shmita Band video and leave about three people.
I mean,
me,
you
and Emily Lauren.
I mean, and, so I just went right for the comedy. You know me. But we'll save that for a little bit later because I know you want to get into the... But the Rangers came out. I mean, it was certainly... let's see, you know, go back to the Islander game and we'll just recap it and then I'll let you go. I'll let you flow. I'll let you do what you do best.
Okay.
Just run roughshod over internet airwaves. But the Islander game was not a game where the Rangers played well. Once again, it was Henrik Lundqvist playing out of his mind. Out of his mind. And the Rangers just standing around, being dominated by, as much as I hate to say it, a better team. Yep, I'm going to say it. So,
harder working.
What?
A harder working team, I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. I mean
harder hitting.
You've got to earn stuff in this. It doesn't matter what the... I don't even know if talent. Come on. Got 1.5 guys who can score on this team now. Like Stepan and you got Nash. If he, whatever's wrong with him, I don't know. He might be hurt. They got completely dominated. Henrik Lundqvist was the only reason they won that game. It was terrible. But they won. All right, so prove me wrong. You're going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia's banged up. They got some Danish guy playing defense. I don't even know who this guy is. They got guys in there. Brandon Manning, is he one of the Manning brothers? Is he Peyton and Eli's younger brother? He's playing defense? They got nothing. They got no... And I know who you're going to go off at. He was one of them. Well, it was probably like a lot of them.
I'm not scaring anybody.
They couldn't dominate. good for you. I want to see the full gauntlet. I want to see who survives the gauntlet. That's really what I'm here for. I'm purely here tonight as a listener. I really don't want to talk all that much. But I'll probably wind up talking because basically they can't shut my mouth. But you come to that game, where's the fire? The first period, again, a big, fat dud. Dud. No passion. No nothing. Complete nothing. Zero intensity. No urgency. Once in the third period, we woke up. By that time, it was too late. So, the Rangers make a late foray. They tease us with some kind of effort. And they lose. Jacob Voracek managed to score again.
Voracek?
More like Boracek. And, I think the only positive is Wade Simmons didn't score. Other than that, they lost a very important game for them. to make the playoffs. And you know, I mean, I could pick out some of the. I think Michael Delzado didn't have the greatest game. Got caught up by some. I'll go, I'm not going to pick guys out because basically the whole team stinks. I thought Lundqvist actually was. Now, I don't know how the guys feel about this because I always got to worry about this when I tread in this zone. I thought he blew one goal.
Yeah, one was.
It doesn't matter. Team doesn't score. Team doesn't come out with any urgency.
Right.
Am I going to have a breakdown game for a team that you know, Tortsy goodbye. That's all I got to say. Seen enough of you. All right. Take over the stage.
First of all, I'm going to start by saying that after wavering for weeks on this program about John Tortorella, I am ready to announce my official endorsement. This clown's got to go. This clown has got to go. And let me tell you, I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't think he's a bad coach.
Wait. He's a bad coach.
Wait, no.
Sorry.
Let me finish. I think he knows the game.
Was he just done?
Every
coach in the league knows the game.
I think he's a good coach. I think he has good qualities. I just think he's gone crazy. I think he has taken leave of his senses. The things that I am now seeing that, yeah, have been going on for a good portion of this year, but I've just come to the realization these things just don't make good hockey sense anymore. They just don't. Rick Nash, we're going to start with Rick Nash, okay, who has been the closest thing the New York Hockey Rangers have to a consistent forward, okay, gets pulled off the first power play unit last night. Take him off. Done. Get him out of there. Replaced by Derek Brassard. That's nothing against Derek Brassard, but there's Derek Brassard and there's Rick Nash. Yeah, take him off. Because this power play, because it's Rick Nash's fault that this team has 10 fucking minutes of power play time, five power plays and generate 8 shots in 10 minutes with an extra man on the ice? We're going to blame it all on Rick Nash. Not the rest of these bums that they keep running out there. Not this second power play unit that he can't wait to get on the ice. I know Brian Boyle's hurt. I know he's upset because he knew the families at the marathon. That's a horrible thing that happened the other day. He's upset. He can't sleep. He's allergic. He's a fucking retard, whatever he is. But he has no business being on a second power play unit. They can't wait to get him on the ice. He might as well be French because he is nothing but a white flag on the fucking power play when they put him out there. That's all he is. We surrender. That's it. Our first power play unit couldn't get it done, so here comes Brian Boyle with the giant white flag and Brad Richards playing the goddamn fife and drum. We surrender. That's it. We're done. No more power play goals. Here comes Richards and Boyle. Brad Richards says after the game, "I cannot explain it," said a downcast Brad Richards. I can explain it. 45% on faceoffs. You lost a faceoff to Ruslan goddamn Fedotenko. 4 missed shots. 2 giveaways. I can explain it. Brad Richards can't. He is Chris Drury Vista. Chris Drury XP. Chris Drury 2.0. I can't explain it. Chris Drury with buck fucking teeth. I was so excited when they signed him. Walt Getty up at the crack of noon. Let's go do a show. They got Brad Richards. 8:00 in the morning in Arizona. I'm on the radio touting Brad Richards. Chris Drury XP. That's all he is. Oh, and big news. They called up Chris Kreider today. Fan-fucking-tastic. Can't wait to see his 2 minutes of ice time tomorrow night. Either trade him or get him a new coach. He'll never fucking survive with Tortorella. He's going to slit his wrists playing for this man. Steve Mason, Ken Dryden, same guy apparently. Oh, Derek Stepan, you hear about this? Said he was a little banged up and admitted to feeling confused after taking a third period hit from Claude Giroux. Great. Fantastic.
So you take that baseline test they give out?
Oh, yeah. What's your name? How many brothers does Mark Stahl have? How about this one? How about
okay,
this? Let's get back. Let's go back. Yeah, exactly. Get back out of the ice. You're fine. Here's another one. Dan Girardi. Again, let's go back to the 10 minutes of power play time. 10 minutes. Everybody, 10 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez. 10. Dan Girardi's on the ice for 6 minutes of it. 6. Why? 6 minutes of that 10 is Dan Girardi. Ryan McDonagh was only good for a minute. Why? This coach has gone crazy. He has gone bat shit crazy. I'm talking Marco Kidder shaving her head, jumping out a window, crazy. Britney Spears clubbing a car with an umbrella, crazy. He has taken leave of his senses. Dan Girardi out there for 60% of the power play. John Moore. Oh, I just love his skating, Tortorella says. We'd like to get him on the ice because he fills the area. He's so rangy. He's he's a Ryan McDonagh clone. So he gets 28 seconds of power play time in addition to Ryan McDonough's minute 25. Dan Girardi had three times as much power play time as the two of them put together. He's gone crazy. That's the only thing I can tell you. He's either on drugs or he's crazy. He's lost it. He's absolutely lost it. Brad Richards. I can't explain it. Go buy a fucking pizza place in Connecticut and get the hell out of my life. Get out of here. Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum. Oh, just like Eddie told you 3 weeks ago, they go get all these new guys. They score 47 points their first game as a Ranger. Why? Because they weren't coached. And the minute he gets his hands on them, torture. Anybody see the goal from Ryan Clough? No. Nothing. Out of his mind, telling you. I'm done for the minute.
Do you think if they got Avery back, would help?
Oh, yeah, there's the answer. The next answer is Sean fucking Avery. I will ban you from the group, ban you from the show, and punch you in the fucking throat. No more Sean Avery. Enough. Sick of it.
Yeah, but they missed Prosser's five goals.
I forgot one other thing. How many goals? How many more goals has Marion Gaborik scored in the last 3 days? Couldn't wait to run him out of town, huh, Torchy? He's useless. He's done. You won. You won the war, but you keep losing the battle every night, you little shit. Michael Delzato. If I have to see one more cross-ice pass at the blue line from Michael Delzato, I swear to God, I'm going to send my brains across the room on the business end of a bullet. He has become a Dell fucking turnover. I hate to give Howie credit because he's been on it for 3 years and I've been trying to lay off. But Jesus fucking Christ. This team isn't fun. Last year's team, win or lose, they were fun to watch. This team is brutal. They are excruciating when they lose, and they ain't much better when they win. Even the wins suck.
Everything about them is miserable. Everything. This coach has made them a miserable team. I'm watching the Pittsburgh game tonight. They're coming out between the second and third period. The players are I know they're winning, and there's a different mentality when you're winning, but they got no Crosby. I don't think Malkin's playing tonight. They got their problems. They're joking around, high-fiving. Let's get out there and play some hockey, boys. This guy's got them all miserable. He's a miserable man, Jim. He's an insane, miserable midget. The thing that really got to me was when the reporters asked him about the Boston incident, the marathon and the bombing. He goes, you know, you want to talk about the explosion? No, I don't want to talk about it.
Don't ask.
Can you just be a human for 5 seconds? You're from the area, and I don't want to hear, oh, well, he's from the area, he couldn't say anything, he was too choked up. Sorry.
Bullshit.
I'm not buying that. Bullshit. Just say, how about just be a human? Just put humanity before hockey, you fucking nut. What are you, a nut? And just say,
what a terrible.
Well, I know where you're going, but let me just finish this thought. He couldn't, because he's got to be so focused on where he's going to put Taylor Pyatt that he can't come out and say,
it's a terrible tragedy. My hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Boston.
That's all he had to say. But hockey before humans. And now to in Laviolette, like you were going to say, during the game.
Yep.
In the heat of battle, in the heat of hockey.
Expressed his condolences and thoughts. But this miserable son of a bitch
can't take 10 seconds to drop the whole Napoleon, little Napoleon act. That it's hockey above everything. Don't ask me about other teams. Don't ask me about other humans. Don't ask me about anything. I'm so focused on a losing team. It's not like we have one loss on the year, and he's been a perfect coach. He's done shit here. He's done nothing. Pete DeBoer went to the finals last year. He's a sucky coach. And I'm sick that he won a cup. I don't care. He's a 500 coach here. Has no clue on fun and on offense and on creativity. He has sucked the fun out of New York Ranger hockey. And I really didn't think it was more possible because with a GM, not a GM, but with a president, actually, scratch both those, with an owner that is just sucking the fun out of everything for the fan, and with announcers to me who suck the fun out of me nightly, although you do enjoy their faux pas, which does supplement your Ranger experience, it's miserable to watch. It's miserable to watch. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, John Moore, the sixth defenseman can only play. He's doing the same shit over and over again each game. And it doesn't work, but he keeps doing it. I mean, they say that's the, you know, isn't that the one side of insanity when you keep repeating things and expecting different results? The same thing over and over again? Dan Girardi is an offensive Sahara Desert. What he did with Rick Nash, even Pierre Maguire was on that. I mean, it's so obvious to that, which proves to me, you know, even out of the mouth of boobs comes things that we've been saying and fans can see, obvious things we could see, that this guy will go with his insanity to the detriment of the team's results. I said this one. That, to me, shows he's just got a personal agenda, and he don't give a shit about the fan, the team. Unless he's so messed up, he thinks this. They got so many guys on this team that can't score. Darryl Powell, no points. I know he's pretty good on the penalty kill, but come on. And I know he plays 4 minutes. Why do you get so crazy? I don't get so crazy because of the dicker with Pisey. Guy's got one goal in 33 games. How do these guys keep playing? Boyle, two goals. He's on power play center.
He's big. He'll get in front of the net.
Yeah, can we stop with the big body
Ryan
theory
Callahan
already?
Ryan Callahan is more effective in front of the net than Brian. But first of all, he either hits that giant Frankenstein. He's got no skills for a tip-in or anything like that. He's so big, it doesn't provide a screen. It just helps the goalie out cover more net. He sucks. Dan Girardi and his two power play points gets a 10 minutes of power play time. Ryan McDonagh in that game was clearly a really good offensive player, I thought, in the Flyer game. He made some nice shots. How come he can't play the power play?
1 minute,
25
seconds. How does Dan Girardi get more power play time than Rick Nash? How? Who does that? Who coaches hockey like this? Nobody. Like, one person. Nobody does this. How do you win like this? How do you send a defensive defenseman out there? Why, because he scored a goal against the Islanders? You figured he was hot?
Well, that was it.
He drove to the,
he's
he
running
drove
with the
to the net. He was probably lost. He probably started skating and couldn't stop. So what, you're going to give him six? Oh, he's hot. How does Dan Girardi get more power play time than Rick Nash? How? Why? What happened? Why? Ryan McDonagh, minute 25
miserable son of a bitch. He makes us miserable. He's a... I'm just going to say, he's an embarrassment as a fan of this team, as our representative, in every fashion. I don't think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a good coach. You can tell me he won a cup. That was, you know, listen, he won a cup when I was 32, whatever. I don't care. That was a long time ago. I don't know what happened. He went insane. He's not a good coach. Tell me what... Somebody tell me, what edge do you get when John Tortorella, when you're coaching, you get as him as being your coach? What's the edge? Because I want to hear the, oh, you know what? He doesn't take no shit. He's not like Rennie. Rennie had no fire. First of all, he kisses the ref's ass. The refs love him. He's always asking for explanations, so he's never on the refs. All he does, his fire, is to berate people and to dehumanize them in public. He's miserable. He's a miserable man. He's a miserable coach. And we have to be stuck with his misery. And what he did, not talking about the boss and saying to me, it's just he's got no class, and he's just so embittered and involved in himself that he can't be a human. It's a fucking hockey game, you jackass. It's a goddamn hockey game. There's certain things that are above hockey. Not many, but there are. And sometimes you got to take time out, step out of character, but no. This should have been a major story in New York. I really wanted to go on FAN and say, you know what?
We got a coach here in New York who won't even take the time out. Yeah, you know, that sports station. I wanted to call him up. Said, we got a coach here in New York who won't even take the time out to say, to well wish the people in Boston, because he's so worried about beating Peter Laviolette and the Flyers down. He can't entertain anything like this. He's miserable. Portsy goodbye. That's all I have to say on this subject. So things are bad when Pierre McGuire is noticed. And they were saying, how many games did they come out without urgency? I mean, you can blame it on the players, but where's that fire? He brings that fire. They come out lackadaisical. Tell me, I want to know, what edge do we get with having him as a coach? He likes the players he likes. He listens to the players he likes, and everybody else, go fuck yourself. I'm sorry if that's a little laden, but, you know, listen, this is Jim warned you. He'll listen to Ryan Callahan. He'll listen to a couple other guys. But he just jerks everybody else around. He's going to play the same four guys. And he can't coach offense. How can we have an NHL coach that doesn't coach offense in this day and age? Henrik Lundqvist is dying out there. Listen, I'm just saying things everybody else has thought at this point. But, you know, you hate to, me and you especially, we don't want to get into the mob mentality, you fired torts and all this stuff. But, you know, you give the benefit of the doubt, and then they make the playoffs last year, and they go, you're all right. Well, they just need, torts system sucks. But, you know, if they get a playmaker in here like Nash and him and Gabrick, it can work out. But he can't handle one offensive guy, more than one offensive guy. And I'm not buying that straw man thing that Gabrick was tanking it here. He was fucking miserable, just like we are. And it's fun for him playing over there. We couldn't squeeze a goal out of that guy.
So, and to give listen to this. Let me read you this quote really quick on John Moore. The rest of this quote from Napoleon. He's certainly been very coachable, and you can see he tries to make strides. Young kid, I didn't know who the hell he was. That's how bad he wanted Marion Gabrick gone. He took back play. He didn't care who was coming back. How do you trade a valuable commodity and not ask what you're getting back? Think about that. I'd like to trade for your car. Okay. Here you go. Here's my car. And then after you get, I didn't know you were giving me an apple, a banana, and a Nintendo 64. Huh. That's interesting.
I'm throwing an 8-track player.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know I was getting this. Okay. I don't know what this is.
Right.
Who does that? You do that when you don't care what you're giving away.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was with Chris Higgins. When they got Brandon Prust. Well, I don't know anything about Brandon Prust. Okay, I get that. You're only getting rid of Chris Higgins. But this was your most. This was your second or third most valuable player on the team. Your most valuable commodity. I mean, this was like, in the old days, this was like your Buick behind your Cadillac and your whatever. I don't know, your Oldsmobile. You know, this was your Buick. And you traded your Buick, and you got back, like, a paperclip and a stapler and a highlighter, but you didn't know what the paperclip was. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know anything about him. I don't know who he is. Whatever, I'll take a roll of duct tape for Marion Gabrick. Give me a roll of duct tape and a pair of water shoes, and I'm good.
He's
stunned.
I'm so done with this guy.
The team's not good. And the team could be in the playoffs if they had a better coach. They don't have a good coach. I want to know what edge you get. I mean, I had to sit through the first 20 games of having too many bench miners. Well, they finally got that cleared up. Well, the refs just stopped calling. He won't fire Mike Sullivan, who is the worst. I want Terry Pern back, Jim. I miss
Terry
Pern.
I'd take Perry Ellis. Take Perry King. Take Perry Como.
I mean, don't you see that idiot designing the play? I mean, it's laughable. He zaps the fun out of everything. Just zaps the fun out of everything. And now the team just reflects that. Like you said, he's insane. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a whole total bastard coach. I mean, Brad Richards is still passing the ghosts. He's terrible. He's out of shape. He's out of his, I don't know, he's lost all his talent. I don't know where it's gone. He's a secondary scoring from Brad Richards. Secondary scoring. That's when I heard it all. And you know what else pisses me off? Getting back to Gabrick. And this, you know, this also smacks of Dolan and the whole, the KGB over there. Not one word about Gabrick and what he did for the team. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he was Keith Hernandez or he was, Mickey Mantle of the organization. I know that's a really bad example, but, you know, Mickey Mantle, I don't want to equate Keith Hernandez and Mickey Mantle, but, you know, like he was Rod Gilbert. But while he was here, he was one of the few guys that actually produced that we got from another team through UFA. And not a word from that broadcast team. Meanwhile, you get Chris Drury was a fine, fine captain and Ranger. They never said one word. Marion Gabrick got traded to Columbus, Sam. Here are the guys they got back. Oh, the Rangers need some of that grit that they lost. I'll tell you, the grit that they lost, and listen, I would do the Nash trade 100 times out of 100 again. I think Nash is that good. But the reason you've seen, now Artie's hurt again, which he's had an injury plague season. He's been hurt two or three. He's still got 11 goals. But here was a guy who couldn't play for Torts. First line for 2 days, fourth line for 3 weeks. As soon as he stopped scoring. Never consistency. Nothing's consistent. The line change is never consistent. Tim Erickson. Everybody loves Tim Erickson. Oh, I didn't see what the big deal about him. He's got to say stuff like that. He's just... I don't know what to say. I mean, I just feel like he can't... He's not a good coach. They need to move on. I think fans that are hanging on to him, you got to raise the bar. This team has enough talent on defense and goaltending to be secure in a playoff spot, not fighting for one. And I got to be scared that they're going to lose to the Panthers because I got to see one of these ridiculous first periods that they throw out, and I got to be scared that Jacob Markstrom is going to play like Terry Sawchuk. It's not even fun. Like you said, when they win, it's not fun. All right. So
the only time it's been any fun is when we do the show. That's the only thing that's fun about the season, doing the show.
Anything. Well,
I agree. I don't know who he was.
I can't wait till he gets fired. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Could have been Marion Gabrick for Mary Tyler Moore. I don't know who he is. I don't know who it was.
I don't know who he is. And the thing is, I feel like they've taken a step backwards. They had Gabrick and Nash. I know Gabrick was suckful this season. But eventually he would have turned it around. Or it's just a better alternative to what we got now. I mean, you know, I like Broussard. He's showing a little flashes here and there. And John Moore's okay, I guess. But I'd rather have Marion Gaborik. You know? I'd rather have Marion Gaborik. And
not under this
the
coach.
Fact that now, no, not under this coach. I mean, the thing is, though, is now they have to go out and get a goal scorer. And where are you going to find these guys that score? And a guy, what kind of goal scorer is going to want to come here and play for this guy?
Exactly. What goal scorer is going to look and say, "This, I can succeed there"?
Yeah. He knows how to nurture offense.
He's going to get relegated to the fourth line with Brian Boyle because you don't block shots. We have like 62 phone calls on hold.
All right, put them on. Put them on because I feel
all
like...
All at once?
We're so frustrated. All at once. No. Let's get to it.
Robbie,
what's
up?
They disagree with us. Let's...
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Robbie?
What's up, Robbie?
Doing good. Well, you know, I have to say that was I'm starting to agree with you guys on Torres. I think that he's run his time, his course in New York, and now it's starting to become apparent that he needs to go. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to repeat what you guys just said, but it's just he just sucks the life out of everyone, and he makes all the players just completely not like him at all, and it ruins everything, and it's just very frustrating to watch. It looked like it was going to be good last year, but at the end, it just this year, it's just it's a little bit different story, so I don't know what to say anymore with him. Looks like we're going to be stuck with him, because I think Sager loves him. That's the unfortunate thing. You guys agree?
Agree at that we're going to be stuck with him for next year?
Yes, that part.
I think he'll be with the team next year. I think he'll
be
there
so too.
I don't know.
But I think they better get off to a good start.
I agree.
Yeah,
I
that's what I feel.
And the thing also that kind of I was on Facebook last night during the second intermission, and I kind of noticed it was pretty apparent that they're going to be in two Winter Classic games for next year. And there's one thing actually part of the reason why I wanted to call in because I wanted to say a few things about this. Now, I understand that the Islanders are kind of on this little resurgence. They have, like, Tavares and Molson, and it's still the rivalry, and it's New York versus New York. But the whole purpose of the Winter Classic was to get two completely different cities in the game so you can get, like, more ratings. Like, people are not going to want to watch. I mean, I can understand the Rangers, the original six and everything, but no one is going to care to watch the Islanders or the Devils, New York, a person from, I don't know, Phoenix or San Jose is not going to want to watch the Islanders or the Devils in the Winter Classic. It should at least
be,
you know, original six.
Who cares?
The Rangers, that's the thing. So.
I don't really care what a fan in Tuscaloosa wants to watch as far as a hockey game goes, to be honest with you. But I will say this. The NHL is going to kill this good thing they've developed. Playing six outdoor games is just ridiculous. You take away there's such buildup to that one game, and you get so excited about that one game. Now it's six games, it's going to saturate it. It's going to take away the speciality. I don't know.
The uniqueness.
The speciality.
I don't know,
yeah.
But it's just to me, it's the Islanders in the Winter Classic that doesn't they shouldn't even be used in the same sentence to me. I'm sorry, I can't even comprehend. Even if it is the Rangers and the Islanders, I don't know. That's they really just screwed it up by putting two small market teams in the same game.
Well, you're right. I believe you're right, and I also believe with Jim, it goes along. It's almost like they had the lockout this year, so they had to overcompensate to try to give the fans something back. So they made, you know, 25 outdoor games.
I agree. And, you know, and I'm not even going to get involved into the fact that it's not even the Yankee Stadium. It's the old Yankee Stadium. It's just a name, but I'm not going to get involved in that. But that's very frustrating. This league is really inept to me with Bettman. Not to mention that he lives 5 minutes away from me in Saddle River. So, oh well, what are you going to do? But, yeah, so that's pretty much all I got other than I think the league is inept and Torts has got to go. So.
All right.
All right, Robbie.
Thanks for your call.
Good to hear from you. Talk to you soon.
Good to hear. All right, I'll see you guys soon. Good luck.
Bye. Good call by Robbie tonight.
Didn't mention baseball or basketball.
Yeah, there you go. 347-869, you're on the air.
What's up, Jim? What's up, Ed? How you guys doing tonight?
Chandler, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, Chandler.
Jim, welcome to the dark side. I'm not even going to beat that particular horse because you guys know how I felt for a couple of years now. But this team is, it's you're right, watching the game is brutal. You know, it sucks the life out of you watching the game. You know, it's, and last year's team, let's all be honest, last year's team overachieved, which is why the team was so fun, because none of us expected that team to get to the conference finals. None of us did. You know, now we walked in here this year with a team with offensive powers, offensively skilled wingers and defensemen, and we had to get rid of all of them because we needed more jam. We need more jam. You know, I don't understand it. And what I guess what drove the final nail home for me was a quote that was made by the coach about a week ago when he said that Zuccarello needed to start scoring after he'd been here for 5 games. And we have guys who've been playing all year who aren't scoring, but the guy who's only been here for 5 games needs to start scoring. Otherwise,
right.
He's going to lose that time. That was right. That told me all I needed to know about this team. And you know, yeah, there were a couple of guys that defended him when, you know, the ex-player made his comments, but there were only two people who defended him. Everybody said, oh, the whole team, it was only two players. It was more telling to me the players that didn't say anything. It was more telling the players that didn't come out and defend him in print and attach their names to it. You know, veteran players who never said a word. I don't think he goes unless we miss the playoffs. And even then, I don't think he goes. But I think the only way he goes is if we miss the playoffs. And I don't want this team to miss the playoffs. But I don't see how we're going to make it playing the way we are. And Ryan Cole has stopped driving to the net. Okay. He's getting, you know, he's getting sat on the bench now. He's not getting regular shifts anymore. You know, Aaron Asham was brought here to be an instigator, to be a guy who would fight, to be a guy who would stir things up. He can't get on the ice. So why are we bringing players here? Why do we keep bringing in players and we're not going to utilize them? Why is Chris Kreider up? Because we all know the kid's not going to get any real ice time. So why do they even bother bringing him up? Why bother bringing him up? Just bring up Newberry again because he's going to, you know, Kreider would get the same amount of ice time you'd give Newberry. So what's the point? What's the point in bringing him up? What I really don't get is how so many people can keep defending the coach saying, no, it's the players. Yeah, it's on the players, but at some point when the leadership keeps crushing you under his boot, you stop giving, you know, even you may not realize you're not giving your best effort, but you're not. And these guys haven't given their best effort in a while.
I won't argue at all that there are several players on this team that have underachieved. You know, Gavrik was one of them. Richards, obviously. You know, there's been several. But the decisions being made by the coach at this point make absolutely no sense. These are just bizarre coaching. These are Billy Martin-type coaching decisions.
They're like almost... They're almost spiteful. Like, I'm going to put these guys out despite to what everybody thinks, conventional logic, whatever it is. It's my team. Don't tell me how to run my team.
That, you know, Jim, you hit the nail on the head because when you were talking, I kept thinking Billy Martin. This guy is determined that his system is going to win and everything else be damned. His system. He's going to prove his system works, and he doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care if he even wins. He's going to prove his system works. If you give him and his players, my system will work. You know, we're going to make the playoffs as the eighth seed just about every season. And every once in a while we'll overachieve and we'll make it as a two or a three seed. But he's more concerned with proving his system works than he is with making the players better. And if that's the coach that got people want, then, you know, great. We can be a team that squeaks in every year. We can be a team that, you know, we're all going to root for no matter what. We're going to buy the merchandise. We're going to go to the games. But we know every year going in with him that we're going to get rid of our offensively skilled players. Any of our young players who can score will never be brought up. Okay? And our defensemen's growth will be stunted because Delzato should be leaps and bounds ahead of where he is right now. That kid should have progressed far more than he has. Far more than he has. And, you know, and the same thing's going to happen to McDonough. You watch, McDonough's going to hit a point where, guess what? His growth is stunted. Why? He's not playing on the power play. He's not getting it the time where he needs to get it. He's not being allowed to jump up on a rush. So what is supposed to happen with these kids? They're going to say, oh, the guy's no good. No, it's not that the kids are no good. They're not being allowed to grow. And until we get somebody who allows these people to grow, this is what we get.
Especially with Delzato, who is, listen, he's defensively, he's average. But what he can bring to the team offensively is why he's here. And, you know, I'm still on the fence with this guy, but he certainly hasn't had the right coach to develop those skills. And he had a pretty damn good offensive season last year. This year, not so much. Not so much this year. I mean, why he isn't playing the power play all the time, I have no idea. I mean, for the full 2 minutes, this guy is the only guy who can puck move. And Chris Kreider, when he's brought up, you know what? Why doesn't he play the power play? The guy is a skill machine. He should be. I mean, they used to break in players like this. They used to put you on the power play and see if you could handle the power play first, a specialty guy. Then they would give you regular shifts. Instead, this Fakak, the coach, he puts you on the fourth line between Pisey, Boyle, and Asham. You get your 4 minutes that way. You never see the power play. Meanwhile, you're a skilled player. Doesn't make any sense.
Listen, when Mike
Lindley... And he's got Boyle and Pine on the fucking power play.
When we got a coach who makes Mike Milbury look smart, that's a damn shame. Okay? When Mike Milbury is right about anything, that's a damn shame. And you know what? Milbury and Jones were dead on the other night, and that says it all to me. He made Mike Milbury look like a fucking genius. Now, how is that possible?
They had them pegged. Yep, you're right. Milbury and Jones and even Penis Head, McGuire. They all had him pegged. They said the same thing we were all thinking in our heads that we would never hear during a Ranger broadcast. Rangers got to show some urgency here.
Hey, Chandler, before we let you go, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever traded something? Have you ever made a trade of anything? Have you ever traded anything with anyone?
Yeah, I have.
Did you know what you were getting back in the deal?
Yeah, I made sure of that.
Okay.
And I also tried to make sure I got the best of the deal.
Well, then you're a step ahead of this coach. All right. All right, Chandler, take care. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. Bye. By the way, if you're not following in our chat, but you're listening on the phone or in your car or wherever, the Buffalo Sabres defeated Boston in a shootout tonight, 3-2. The emotional game up there in Boston. Both teams saluting the fans when the game was over. And that leaves the Buffalo Sabres, if I am not mistaken, just 2 points behind your New York Hockey Rangers, making Friday night's game in Buffalo even more important than it was 15 minutes ago. So there you go, Eddie.
Wow. More misery.
talk to Stan. Stan, what's going on?
Yeah, good evening, guys. I didn't even know you were on. I got on a little after 10. I was just, you know, cruising to see when you guys were on next. Found out you were on now. So I missed, I guess, half the show or so, whatever.
Well, Blog Talk will tell you all about it tomorrow.
Very good. So what do you want to know?
Stan, have you ever traded something?
I can't think of it offhand.
Have you ever traded in a car? Have you ever traded a baseball card? Have you ever
cards when I was a kid, you know. You traded all that kind of stuff with other guys.
When you traded something, did you know what you were getting in return? Or did you just leave it to chance?
I guess I knew what I was getting.
See? Well, then you also are. Eddie, it seems like we're all a step ahead of our coach.
Yeah. Well, what exactly are you referring to? Because I must have missed it from earlier.
Okay. John Tortorella was discussing John Moore last night and said he's certainly been very coachable, and you could see he tries to make strides. He's a young kid. I didn't know who the hell he was.
Uh-huh.
He was just commenting that that's how bad he wanted to get rid of Marion Gaborik, is that he didn't care what was coming back. He didn't know anything about what he was getting.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that's a Sather's call. You know, he's the one who made the deal. Now, I guess he consults the coach when he's making a trade. I think actually Moore has looked pretty good, even though Tortorella doesn't let him play all that much.
Doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know who he is, and doesn't play him, even though he's playing well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Stan, I got to disagree with it. That was not Sather's call to trade him. That was the coach's call to trade him. I want this guy out of here. He's a malcontent to me. He's butting heads with me. They didn't trade Gaborik to get these three guys. They need to have John Moore. Tortorella didn't know about Derek Brassard and the great Derek Dorsett, who's being heralded as the Brandon Prust 2.0.
Yeah.
This was a coach versus player thing, and that's what it comes to. And the fact that you don't know what you're getting back just shows you this guy's a mental case.
Well, if for some reason they don't make the playoffs, I'm not sure he's going to last.
I hope you're right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Sather retired. I mean, he just got out of the hospital. He's 70-some-odd years old. He might think...
You know what I have been hearing? And it's funny you bring that up. Because some of my secret sources have been telling me that, say, they may step down, Jeff Gorton will become the GM and the president, which I don't believe yet, will be Mark Messier.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be the GM, but he'll be the president.
Great.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, we'll find out this summer, I guess. If any of this stuff happens, it'll happen probably before the draft. Well, I mean, that means much since he traded away his first three picks.
Yeah, and if we don't make the draft, Columbus has a shot at the number one. I mean, if we don't make the playoffs.
Right.
We don't talk about draft picks. Next question.
Look, I mean, yesterday's game was just, you know, I was thinking, they played, 42 games now? I would say at least half of them, if not more. You go back 10 minutes into every first period, Rangers got two shots on goal. I'd say 30 out of their 40-some-odd games. 10 minutes in, two shots on goal. I mean, why doesn't this team come out at the opening face-off and start playing? Is there some explanation for
that? No, there is none. Who do you guys fault more, the coach or the players on that?
And what's even crazy yesterday is that Philadelphia had like three defensemen called up from the minors. I mean, the Rangers should have been on them right away. They should have had that game over in the first period. Instead, they're just, you know, out there for one of these optional skates. I mean, I don't get it.
That's what I said in the beginning. I mean, they had Brandon Manning playing defense for him, the third Manning brother. They had some guy, some Danish guy, I never even heard of before back then. It was an AHL defense, and they couldn't dominate that in a must-win situation where you need urgency? They're not a good team, Stan. They're not a good team.
Yeah, you could conclude that. And again,
they aren't good.
You know, they make these mediocre goaltenders look like Jacques Plante. I said 100 times. Every backup goalie in the league, they play the Rangers. Their goals against goes down. And I want to see what he's going to do with Kreider. I mean, is he going to let this kid play on the top line, or is he going to, you know, give him 4 minutes a game?
No.
Playing with
no.
Taylor Pyatt.
We don't talk about line combinations. Next question.
I mean, I don't know if you heard my stat on Taylor Pyatt. Last 33 games, one goal.
No, he's he's been invisible. But the bigger concern, we've talked about this before, is Richards. I mean, you want to talk about invisible. The only thing he does now is just pass the puck to the other team. I mean, he's absolutely dreadful.
Jim did probably one of the greatest rants ever done on this show about Brad Richards at the beginning.
No, I missed it.
What'd you call him?
Drury XP.
Something about Chris Drury.
Drury Vista. Drury 2.0. Chris Drury with buck fucking teeth.
That's
hysterical.
What it is.
Listen to him.
Yeah, they're going to have major issues this summer with you know what to do with him.
Real firecracker.
I mean, you can't pay this guy $6 million a year to, you know, pass the puck to the other team. I can do that.
Pass it to ghosts. He either passes to the other team or he passes to somebody that's not even there.
Yeah, he just makes these. And last night's power play was, oh, my God. I mean, it looks like it's an exhibition game. It's like the third preseason game. I mean, they just throw in the puck.
Give Laughing Boy a review of what happened on that power play. How many power play minutes did Girardi get last night?
Stanley, the Rangers had 10 minutes of power play time last night. Dan Girardi was on the ice for over six of them. Over 60% of that power play was invested in Dan Girardi. Dan Girardi had a minute and a half more power play time than Rick Nash had.
Mm-hmm.
This coach makes no sense. Try and control yourself, Stan.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be fired if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, well, how are you going to justify keeping him?
I don't know. People aren't accountable around here. You're not. I mean, come on. It's miserable to watch. They're not a fun hockey team to watch.
I mean, they
never
play,
be fun as long as,
you know, the majority of the game is in their ice, their end of the ice. And especially like last night, where they got a whole, they half their defense is rookies. They can't get the puck in and dominate them. I mean, it's absurd.
You're right. It is absurd. I mean, that team was ripe. So,
aside from the fact that
I don't know what happened,
the Rangers had coming off a 3-day rest. Actually, they only had one game in 6 days, and then Philadelphia had to fly in from Canada overnight. When you always get bogged down with customs and stuff, so they probably got in really late. And the Rangers come out in a coma again. Not good.
Not good at
all.
All
right.
Keep me on, guys, because I got no sound again on Blog Talk.
Will do. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll put Stan back on hold. No. Hold on.
I never thought Spock's father could be
Stan hung up. He said, keep me on hold. Then he hung up.
Maybe heard the. What was Spock's father's name? Sarek?
Sarek.
Sarek. Yeah, Sarek. I think Sarek and Stan have both the same emotional capabilities.
I think Stan is a royal guard. What do they call it? Buckingham Palace guard. You know, I think that's got to be
something. Hey, you don't flinch.
We got to make Stan laugh.
I don't know. Well, maybe we're not funny. Think about that. Stan says he's here.
Not a
in the chat room.
Not a chance.
I don't know.
All right. There. Okay, we got it. All right, let's see. 646-436, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Rocco, guys. What's up?
Uh-oh. Rocco, what's going on?
Not much. Like everyone else, yeah, I am getting pretty tired of both this season and the coach.
All right.
So you've given up, or are you still I'm rooting for the team still. Like, you know, I want them to make it and everything, but
I do want them to make it, but at this point, like, the way they're playing, it's like, really? And if they do make it, they're going to play against Pittsburgh, and it's like, really?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Your plate's full anyway. Your plate's full anyway. You got a lot of things to do.
Does he really?
No. Nothing. So are you joining us on the Tortsy Torty goodbye train?
At this point,
you there, Rocco?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm going on the Torty goodbye train at this point.
The music? Torty goodbye.
Another hit single.
That's what I sing in the shower.
Another hit single.
I play that tune again. I like
that. Gold platinum.
You like that one?
Play the other.
It will go platinum. Guaranteed.
Torty, goodbye. I know you won a cup. The power play fucking sucks.
I don't know what's going on here, but I just lost the. Yep, I can't get the clips to play now. So at some point we're gonna get like a random clip start playing.
Blackout.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, everything's so funny.
Anyway,
all right.
What else you got,
so Rocco?
There is no tomorrow, Rock. There is no tomorrow.
Of course not. Never is. Everything tomorrow, only today, and just get rid of Torchy and let's see what's going on. Sorry, Fonzie, bud, your time is done. See ya.
I just lost the switchboard.
Again?
Uh-oh.
Yep. I have lost the switchboard. So, Eddie, can you
hear
the switchboard?
Yes.
All right, hang up on Rocco. Rocco, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Take care, Rocco.
All right, take care.
Put me on hold if you can. What is the switchboard going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm stuck in some kind of lock mode as well.
Sorry, Rocco.
Talk, goodbye.
Here we go again.
Okay. That fucking thing. Well, at least we're still on the air.
We think.
Well, now. Can you guys hear us in the chat room? Give us an
affirmative. Okay.
It's like we played a clip and then the whole thing crashes.
Right.
I mean, blah talk really is bad.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst. These people that run this thing should be assassinated.
Oh, God. That's a little much, isn't it? Well, I might be getting back here with the studio.
I don't know. I'm still stuck in some swirling dervish mode with my icon.
Yeah, so am I. I don't know. So, yeah. Do-do-do-do-do. I can't bring the studio back. So without the studio, we can't bring any calls on. All we can do is talk. Adam can hear us.
Huh.
Steve cannot.
Is
but
he
Adam's
on the phone?
I don't know if that matters. What about Maddie Meatballs can't hear us. Mike Mazur says, well, this isn't a very good first impression. Wonderful.
Wonderful. You want to call back in?
I can't pull up the studio to do it.
What do you have to do in the studio? Oh, yeah.
Because that was the other thing, was that the, what do you call it? I couldn't get the Skype connection to work before either. I had to call the phone number to get on the air. Thank God this didn't happen during my rant.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I can't pull the page up.
All right, let's just call it.
I'm going to try this one more time if I can't get back to the studio. No, I'm not getting the studio back up. I'm just going to hang up. All right.
Yeah, just tell everyone if you can't now. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, now I see I'm in the studio now.
Are you? I can't. I'm still says can't load the page.
We were just getting to a good riff, Liz, if she's in that clip.
Ba 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 booey.
Ba 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 booey. All right.
I can't get it back. All right. So yeah. That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Take
I'll talk
care.
To you later, I guess. All right, you too. Bye.
All right.